Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yes, sir. It is your boy here, James Bell, live on the Beatboxing Source Radio Show, Sunday, August 9, 2015, on the MRN Broadcasting Channel, here live on Blog Talk Radio. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, the number to dial, 347-237-5539. We have the MRN Broadcasting Channel, which was started by Carcel Mathis and Matthew Long. Be sure to catch our sister shows here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. with the Cohort Truth on Sports, hosted by the Executioner Matthew Long. And on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., we have the CMT Fire Strong Football Talk Show with Kelly Mike, Stratown, Carcel Mathis, and Tony Watley. We also have a few other things that we're supporting. One of them is Train for Gold, which is a fundraiser for young Olympic hopeful Nakari Jones to get prepared for the Olympic trials coming up and try to get to the Olympics at Rio de Janeiro in Brazil in 2016. So if you go to the GoFundMe account or the GoFundMe.com website, and look for Train for Gold, T-R-A-I-N, the number 4, Gold, G-O-L-D. You'll be able to get information about that little program there. And you can see if you can donate money to help for that project. We may have her along with a few other Olympic hopefuls on the show later this month to talk about the upcoming Olympic trials that will be in the Baltimore area in September. So they'll have another set of Olympic trials coming up should be around like the week of September 7th, that Labor Day, and then continuing on for the week. So we'll have further information on that over the next few weeks. All right, we will be getting on to the show here. We got a few things that we're talking about. Of course, everybody knows about the formal announcement of Floyd Mayweather's fight against Andre Brito at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. That will be Saturday, September 12th. And you'll have that fight along with a few other fights as well on the card. You'll have George Groves taking on Badu Jack for a super middleweight championship. And you'll also have Orlando Salido in action on that card as well. So it's going to be a fairly busy card there on September 12th. And we also have Baines Marasignan against E.J. Smith. All right, we got somebody on the line here. We got 813-758. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Jay? This is Terrell. Just checking in. How's everything?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. Just, you know, starting off here, talking about the formal announcement for Floyd Mayweather's fight against Andre Brito, Winter Park resident, representing Haiti also there. So he'll be getting his chance to go up against Floyd Mayweather on September 12th. And I was just basically going over the card that they have right now. Like I said, you have E.J. Smith going up against Baines Marasignan and Roman Rocky Martinez against Orlando Salido plus Badu Jack against George Groves. So two guys that are under, you know, Floyd Mayweather's banner will be on this card.
And Salido, that's the Mexican, right? That, what, 130, something like that, right?
Yeah, Roman Martinez. So that's going to be a rematch because there will be a rematch of the fight on April 11th that they had, where it was, you know, a little back and forth fight. But Martinez was able to knock him down twice in that first fight.
Well, first of all, we already know about Martinez. He's up and on the rise. He's got that real power. He's at that lightweight. But at the same time, I did go back and watch that first fight from April. But I do like Salido. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying to win the fight, but who was that? When Salido went down to Puerto Rico and beat, what's the kid's name down there? Knocked him out in the third round, fourth round, something like that.
We're in Puerto Rico or Mexico?
Puerto Rico. What's the first fight?
Oh, that was
Puerto
back in 2012.
Rico?
That was Lopez.
Yeah. Juanma Lopez, whatever. Because Juanma was supposed to be the anointed coming up, and Salido, so everyone's spots, knocked him out and everything. So I like Salido. Salido, he's a bit long in the tooth right now. He's always a motivated fighter, you know. So I would love to see that. That's gonna be a good fight. Good fight. Good undercard. So great.
Yeah, it's a great undercard there, and like I said, they had, you know, four fights on the card, on the pay-per-view card right now, I think. Well, I don't think it's on the pay-per-view card because I think the Ishae Smith fight won't be on the pay-per-view. They're saying they may have one more fight announced for the pay-per-view, but we don't necessarily know who that is yet. So we're still waiting on what that one would possibly be. So it's like up in the air as far as like what that one is going to be. You know what I mean?
And that's not for any kind of belt, is it? Do you know?
Right.
Is that for
and,
a belt?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're trying to just fill that part, you know, fill that part up going to be in the evening. And, you know, they also have another card for Premier Boxing Champions that's going to be during the afternoon. They have K-9 Bundridge going up against Jermall Charlo for K-9 Super Welterweight title. And Kid Chocolate is going up against Michael Zarafa. Up in Connecticut at the Foxwoods.
Yeah, those are some very interesting fights for the landscape of boxing, for the super welterweight, middleweight landscape. That first one that you mentioned, Charlo against who?
K-9, Cornelius Bundridge.
Okay, yeah, because remember, what's the other middleweight titleist, Andre, I believe his name, who got stripped for not fighting Charlo, which they should have fought.
Oh yeah, Andrade, yeah. He's going through, you know, the promotional issues and trying to get, you know, bid out of his contract and that type of thing. So with all of that being, you know, said, that kind of like held him back as far as fighting anybody, and he ended up getting that WBO title stripped from him.
So now he's just another undefeated fighter with no belt. That's a shame. That's like we talked about in the past, the politics of boxing. You know, there's nothing that should have stopped those two guys to fight. You know, undefeated with a great little fight for Cyril Thomas, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Andrade should have at least fought. Like, if he couldn't fight Jermall, you know, at least he could have fought, you know, Jermell, and defended his belt against the other Charlo. You know what I mean? But
yep.
It's just, you know,
like a top fighter at this point.
Yeah, it just seems like that kind of like hold up fighters and hold up fights, and that's, you know, one of the setbacks of the sport, but it's something that, you know, comes with the territory on that. So I mean, what do you think about the actual main event here, Mayweather Berto here?
Well, I do like to fight, and Berto is worthy of the fight. He's not unworthy. He's not when you first say Berto, just a little bit of surprise. But to me, based upon his career and resume, he is worthy for this fight. That's the first thing that stands out to me. He's worthy. So, I mean, as far as the fight itself, is interesting. It's very interesting because, one, Hayward is fighting another brother, which I appreciate. And like I said,
right.
At this point, Berto is a veteran. So he ain't going to be punked out. He ain't going to play no mind games with him. He's been there, done that. He's had a belt. He's been at the top. He's had multi-million dollar paydays for HBO early in his career. So, you know, really, maybe with the little games, ain't really going to work on this dude. But so as far as matchup, though, the first thing in the matchup that stands out to me is the fact that Mayweather is the bigger guy. I didn't realize that Berto was only 5'6". I didn't realize that. So Mayweather.
He's a short, stocky individual there, Andre Berto is. So, he'll have like a little height disadvantage against Floyd. So, yeah, he'll be a taller fighter there on that one.
But in this case, I'm not too worried about that. Even with Mayweather being a bigger guy, he's fighting another brother. And when I say that, you know what I mean. You fight another brother. Somebody that messes around me. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, exactly.
But nevertheless.
At least bring everybody in for that, you know?
So it's a good speed matchup. It's going to be a tactical matchup. I said turn around the fourth, fifth round until somebody really gets touched. And
true.
Truly, Berto is a live dog in this fight. He's a live dog, you know? So. He's capable of passing a win, but it's anything can happen to put on those gloves. You know that. What do you think about the fight itself?
Well, to me, I mean, I'm like you said, man, I'm down with the matchup overall. Mayweather versus Berto. I mean, at least Berto's getting a shot. Somebody, like I said, number one from Winter Park. You know, number two from, you know, basically he represented the country of Haiti in, you know, the Olympics. So, I mean, at least, you know, I'm glad that, you know, somebody from there is able to get a shot to, you know, have a big money fight. You don't really see that. Like a lot of times you'll have, like I said, Mayweather against a Mexican fighter, somebody from Argentina or somewhere else. But no one from, you know, here that's the likes of, you know, like a Shane Mosley, after the fact, you know what I mean? Mayweather wasn't at the level getting the type of money when he fought Shane Mosley back in, what was that, 09 or something like that, 09, 10, compared to now where he's getting 30 to 35 million at the least every fight. But real quick, I mean, I got 336-327 on the line live right now. What's going on, man?
What's going on? JB,
here, man.
But see, the thing about that is, you know, when everybody said something about, like, Mayweather fighting a brother, I mean, you got to look at it. He fought the brothers when they were available. When he fought Zab was available, and he was on top of his game. When he fought Shane, when you look at all the Hispanic guys or whatever he's fought from then on, they were the fights that the people wanted to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If he would have fought, just throwing a name out there, brother, they'd be like, well, why is he fighting him? You know, I do think Berto, you know, I think Berto can be as competitive as anybody else is out there. I mean, to me, I always thought Berto, even when he was at the height of his career, he was just a one-handed fighter. He admired his work with his right hand. And, you know, but I give him credit. He comes. He gives it everything he got, whether he's spattered, swole up, or bruised. But still, I don't see him being posing a big threat. But I don't see none of the rest of them out there posing a big threat. I mean, so it is.
I don't either.
But what I'm happy about more than anything, he's giving a brother a chance to get a payday. I mean, if you look at Berto. Berto has been a fight away two different times from landing a payday. And he's worthy of a good payday, man, on his way out, you know. I mean, which I don't really think the fight might be something decent to watch for the first few rounds. But then after that, I think Floyd pick him apart. I mean, that right hand is going to be extremely hard for him to land. Conventional fighter. I mean, that's a textbook boxer, so he does everything that you're supposed to do. It's not like a Madonna who's throwing stuff from all kind of crazy and odd angles. or a southpaw, I think it's easy work. But I think Keith Thurman is easy work. That's just my opinion. I think all of them, to me, I mean, I don't see none of them really posing a threat.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Keith Thurman a little bit later on in the show, you know, reference to what he said over the past few weeks and ever since, you know, the his comments after the Garcia Malignaggi fight. So I will be touching on that a little bit as well. What about the other fights that are on the card? You got, you know, Veins going up against Ishe Smith, and you got, you know, your favorite fighter, Badu Jack, against George Groves. And
I'm going to tell you like this right here, man. Listen. Man, I thought that they were going to put together a good card. This card sucks. You know me, I always take that week off, you know, just in case I go to the fight. Bro,
right.
Man, it's the card is terrible, man. It's terrible. I mean, to me, Badu Jack or Ishe Smith, they should be fighting on Friday night. You know what I'm saying? The day before
right.
the fight. I mean,
right.
I'd have put Errol Spence on that card, even though they fighting for a title. Who even know who they are? You know what I'm saying? I just,
right.
I was totally disappointed in the card. Totally disappointed.
Yeah,
I think I
thought it would be stacked, and it was like I said earlier. I don't know. They were talking about there might be one fight left on the pay-per-view portion of the card. So I'm not sure if that's going to be announced later on or not. Like, you know, something to the level of, you know, when you know, we were there in September 2013, and we knew about, you know, Foy versus Canelo, but then later on they announced Danny Garcia against Lucas Matisse. So, I mean, that
right.
came out of the blue, you know?
Right.
And
I mean,
so
that's what
maybe,
I thought about this call. You know, I thought this call at least was mirrored to a big fight. You know, so people be like, well, you know what? It's Floyd's last fight, but, you know, Berto's a live dog, but this fight right here, man, it's a must-see. So that would have helped, but what they put together, I don't really see that it's really like that. I mean, I don't really see a lot of people buying it. This would be the one where people go pile up over somebody's crib or sports bar to watch it. It just, I don't see it selling, really. It should have been on free TV. But
I will say
for all the ones that let's say, okay, well, why is he fighting him? I mean, he's an easy opponent. I mean, everybody in the history has took somebody that was supposed to be easy. I mean, when Ali fought Spinks, he was supposed to be easy. You know, a lot of times what's supposed to be easy is not really easy. You know, so, I mean, the fight will be left in the ring. But like I say, everybody do it. I mean, but to his defense, when you look at champions, I don't think nobody has faced more champions than he have, basically like back to back, you know, in the history of the game.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. I mean, his resume is where he's fought, you know, champion after champion after champion in reference to, like starting off with Victor Ortiz, and then, you know, everything after that. So Ortiz, then Cotto, then Guerrero, then Canelo, then Maidana twice, and then Pacquiao. So, you know, those, just with that alone, that shows like the consecutive amount of fights that he's fought against world champions. You know, so you do have that. But yeah, like you said in reference to Errol Spence, I mean, Errol Spence is, you know, in another card the night before, that's going to
correct.
Be is there going to be, I think it's in Montreal, right? Because the main event is Adonis Stevenson against Tommy
right.
Carpensi. So,
correct.
That'll be in Toronto. And, he'll be facing Chris Van Heerden. So, I mean, it's, you know, another little small step for Errol Spence, but he could have fought, well, who was it before they gave him Phil Ogreco? He was supposed to fight somebody, but the guy backed out. And
Yeah, the Hispanic guy.
So, he wasn't able to fight him, and then so he ended up fighting Phil LoGreco, which I mean, it's Phil LoGreco. He was there. He was live. He was, you know, ready to fight. And LoGreco fought Sean Porter earlier in his career.
Right.
So I mean, it's not like, you know, it's somebody out of the blue that some people don't know. I mean, the thing is, he fought Sean Porter earlier.
But with that being said, okay, it's not like that. Earl is trying to fight the bigger names. It's just the bigger names don't want to fight him. It's not like that, you know, he's selling for the lesser guys. He's taking what was signed the contract. I mean, he was wanting to fight Keith Thurman. He said he would fight Sean Porter. You know, I mean, he doesn't have a problem fighting any one of them because he's trying to put himself in a position where, he wants the title. But,
right.
I mean, like I say, they're not trying to fight him.
Yeah, they're not trying to fight him, man. They're trying to say he needs to, like, go up in the ranks or something like that. But, I have an overall general point on that. You know,
how did he don't get up in the ranks? I mean, unless he beats somebody that's above him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
the people that's above him got to be able to fight him or wants to fight him. And, you said, they don't want to fight him. And it's not like, you know, folks can, you know, be at the level where Spence is and not win world titles. I mean, Spence won a world title in the 7th or 8th fight. You know, Floyd won his title at, you know, the 16th fight. And you got Vasyl Lomachenko right now. You got Rigo right now.
Right.
So those are just a few examples, you know.
But, you know, that's just like, to me, when you hear Keith saying, like, who is he, this and that, he's full of shit. He know that Earl is crafty. Earl can fight. And it's not going to be easy. He don't want to be in a position where, you know, a lot of people don't know who Earl is, but the real fans do. He don't want to be in a position where he have a hard way or get beat by Earl, and then everybody question how good he is because he's trying to cash out. He wants the big payday. He wants the big money fight with Floyd. So he can't risk having a bump in the road against a kid that a lot of people don't even know. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But that's another one thing about, you know, Floyd in reference to if this is going to be, you know, his last fight or not, because it's like this. If Floyd isn't around, then the highest amount of money that, you know, most of these fighters could probably make in one fight is around $1 million. Maybe.
But not only that, you know, when you get to looking at this right here, okay, everybody say what they want to say. They all have their opinion, right? But take Floyd away from the sport. Look at the money that's going to leave the sport. There's nobody else that can generate anything that he's doing. You can't put 20 guys together that can generate what he's doing. That's why you're going to see them offer him another big deal. I mean, because you got to look at the fighters that they want him to fight is easy work. They say, well, why he's not fighting Danny Garcia? He'll beat the brakes off Danny Garcia. They say, why he's not fighting Keith Thurman? You fighting a guy that only beats people that stands right in front of him. He's never faced nobody that's elusive. He's never faced nobody that does anything untraditional. It's just somebody that he's going to look good against. So
right.
Why wouldn't he? It's so easy for him to say, okay, y'all want me to fight Danny? I'll fight Danny in May. Y'all want me to fight Thurman? I'll fight Thurman. But then he's going to give them what they want. Everybody know after he beat him, the first thing they're going to say is, well, Danny wasn't ready. Well, Keith wasn't ready. But, hey, that's who you wanted me to face because that's the name
that
I'm hearing now. I'm hearing Danny Garcia.
Yeah.
You know, the way Danny Garcia looked against Paulie.
Yeah, that's no. Hey, Terrell, you had something to say there right quick?
Yeah, I just have a question. Well, first of all, he made a great point. Take away Mayweather from the sport and what happens to the welterweight division. where's the money generated at? Great, great point. So last question is, 2 years, say Mayweather does leave after this fight, for whatever reason, this doesn't come back, a lot of speculation. So 2 years now, give me a theoretical 2 years from now.
2 years from now? I mean, you never know who's going to pop up. You know what I'm saying? You still got a lot of kids that Crawford may come up, 47. You know what I'm saying? You never know who's going to be in the division. You can base it on who you're seeing in the division right now. And that's not to say that any of these guys will win or lose against the other one. You know, everybody's going to say, yeah, Porter. They're going to say Thurman. You know, they're going to throw Earl in it, and then you got some that's going to say Danny Garcia. You know, but besides that, it's hard to really say, you know, because, I mean, you know, I like Brooke. I mean, I think Brooke can fight with any of the other ones that we name it, Amir Khan. But if you take a lot of these guys, to me, they one fight away from getting beat to where people going to start to forget about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Porter, when Porter lost to Brooke, he's came back and he lined himself up again. But another loss, and they're going to probably do Sean like they're doing Adrian Broner. Broner lose again, man, he's a Friday night fight ESPN guy. You know, his money will decrease dramatically. So the same way with Amir Khan. Only thing different with Amir just got a big following, right? And that's what he's riding on. That's what will get him a big money fight. But everybody question his chin. Yeah, he looked so-so against this one and that one. To me, he looked better when he fought Devin. Since he fought Devin, I mean, he looked so-so. I mean, I didn't think he really looked that good against Collazo. But Devin, he looked real good against Devin. But that was Devin. I mean, maybe Devin wasn't hitting him with anything. But anybody else, I don't think he looked that great. So for me to say that he's going to do this and that in the sport, he's one loss away from everybody riding him off too. You know, that's why, to me, I favor some of the young guys more because, I mean, until we see them face some type of adversity that's causing them problems, I favor them, you know, over a lot of the other guys. If Terrence Crawford was going to come up, of course, 2 years from now, I have Terrence up there. You know what I'm saying? But that's just
right.
The term.
Yep.
Well, just
in
regards
to
yeah, I was just in addition to that, like, say, take away Mayweather, you really got a big group of guys all in one big basket together. And I saw a post on social media this past week where it said, you take away Mayweather, you got a bunch of guys crying for Mayweather, but nobody wants to fight each other. I mean, because they can make a great welterweight tournament right now, including Garcia. But a big welterweight tournament, Garcia, Thurman, Khan, Brooke, what's my young guy name? Errol Spence. Errol Spence. Put those guys and even Bradley. Put those guys in a year and a half welterweight tournament. That right there could step into the next level box and make somebody great.
Right, exactly.
When Game Boy goes away.
A super six for 2016. That's what I'm pushing.
But not only that, right? You can put it on the local networks. You can show it on Saturday or Sunday away from football. And these young guys are going to introduce themselves to a lot of people that haven't been watching boxing. And they're going to find one of them that they're going to like. So, therefore, they're going to have some following on the back end instead of everybody not really getting to see them, you know, and they don't really know anything about them. But that would be good, but I don't care what nobody say, man. What I've seen from Danny Garcia, man, I don't see Danny beating any of these guys, man. That Matisse fight, that took Danny's career. Danny's done, man. If Danny fight anybody that can punch, he's done, bro. He's done. I would bet on Amir Khan in a rematch to beat the brakes off Danny, and I don't really like Amir. But Danny's done, man. He's done.
Give a chance to get introduced to the weight class. Give a little bit of a chance. Don't write him out so soon.
Now, hey, look, I'm going to tell you something, man, and JB knows. That Matisse fight, bro, he left a piece of his ass in Vegas. And when you're in a fight like that, even though he won, it's hard to regroup. If you look at him since that fight, he lost in Puerto Rico. They gave it to him. Every other fight has always been something. Okay, he didn't look good, you know, or against Peterson. Some people think he lost against Peterson. Now his dad is saying in so many words that Peterson was on roids, you know. I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. He's not looking good. And then how can people give him credit for beating Paulie, man? For beating Paulie. My 8-year-old son can take Paulie shots, man. Paulie has no power.
Yeah.
All he has
nothing,
is a jab. And my thing, Paulie was touching him. Now put him in there with anybody else. Put him in there with anybody else that we name, and he would have trouble. I don't see him winning either. I would listen.
Yeah.
And Jay, you know that I say I don't ever want to see Broner fight at welterweight again. Shit, I give Broner a chance to beat him.
Well, you see, then Broner got a fight at junior welterweight coming up, so I'm glad he's going back down.
Right.
But yeah.
I'm telling you, I see Broner causing him problems, man. I mean, Danny's not the same, man. And then that's why you see Danny, all right, when they bring up Matisse, he don't want to see Matisse, man. He don't want to see these guys, man. He don't want to see them no more.
Matisse was saying that he would like to fight, you know, Garcia again at 147.
Yeah, get the rematch,
but I think he'd give him the rematch. But I think Matisse just signed with Top Rank, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah, I think he signed with Top Rank. So, that one there is, you know, out of the question. But with him signing with Top Rank, if he's able to defeat Victor Cosell on October 3rd for that belt, and you do have Terrence Crawford at Top Rank that is fighting in November. So, if Crawford wins this fight, then you could have Crawford Matisse next year.
That'd be a great fight.
So, I mean, at least, you know, we'll be able to have something like that. That would be one fight for next year that, you know, some people would be looking forward to in the 140-pound division. In reference to Adrian Broner, yeah, he's going back down to 140 on October 3rd. And, I was seeing who he was fighting, because it may be for the vacated belt that Danny Garcia gave up.
It is.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get his name here. Alec Verdiev. Yeah, so Khabib Alec Verdiev is what they were talking about for that one. So that would be maybe for the vacated WBA junior welterweight championship. And, you know, after that, who knows who the winner would be able to face. It might be Amir Iman, which would be a good fight. Or, promotional free agent Ruslan Provodnikov might still be out there.
It's funny how nobody wants to put him back on TV now. Provodnikov, that is. Great fighter. You know exactly what he brings. And for any fighter. But it's kind of like done, you know. As far as American TV right now, I'm sure somebody will get him back on at some point, though, you hope.
Right. My thing is, with Broner, the way that Broner, you know, acts as far as, like, his ring antics or anything like that, he's not an NBC or network television type of fighter. You need, like, somebody like him on an HBO or Showtime in order to do what he does. Because they wouldn't be able to allow what he's truly able to do on something like NBC or CBS or anything like that. It won't work for him that way. So even if he was, you know, able to, you know, have a little comeback and probably win this fight and win a belt, you still, you know, wouldn't necessarily see him do everything that he really wants to do as far as his outside the ring type of thing.
So what's next on the horizon for this coming weekend?
What's on the horizon for which weekend? This weekend?
Yeah.
I'm looking into that right now. I think there might be some type of, I know that there may, like, should be some type of fight coming up this weekend. This coming up is going to be Tarver versus Cunningham. That's the one that I was going to be touching on August 14th. I'll be, you know, Premier Boxing Champions on Spike. So you'll have Tarver and USS Cunningham, you know, with the heavyweight fight over in Newark. That should be this Friday. You know, so we have that, and then Marco Huck's going to defend his Cruiserweight Championship against Christoph Gulacki in that card also.
So what's your take on Tarver, Cunningham, in addition to their own? So.
Tarver, Cunningham, I mean, they're ranked among the, well, for, what is it, BoxRec? They're ranked among the top 10 in BoxRec, but as far as, like, the actual divisions, they're not in, you know, they're not highly rated in any major organization. So while they're, you know, they're at heavyweight, it's not like whoever wins the fight is, like, right up there as far as, like, contending for Klitschko's or Deontay Wilder's championship belts. You know, so even, so the winner would have to go over, like, one or two more fights after this one and to be even considered for a heavyweight title shot. You know? I don't see either one of them like fighting the likes of a Brian Jennings or a Bermanz Taverne or Anthony Joshua or any of them like that, or even Povetkin, because Povetkin needs to stay busy fight since he won't be able to fight Deontay Wilder until next year.
Why is that?
Well, when Deontay Wilder, you know, won that fight against Taverne and won the WBC title belt, he was able to have, you know, that one fight that was in Alabama. And then after that, they were able to agree to let him have one fight in September and then do a purse bid with Alexander Povetkin for the WBC belt next year. Now, he has to go into a purse bid or give him step-aside money to defend the title against somebody else. But if he gives Povetkin step-aside money, then there better be a good fight for Wilder to have in order for anybody to buy him as a valid heavyweight champion.
Well, once
it's not like, you know, it's not like he's going to fight Anthony Joshua. He won't be doing that. Joshua is a top, you know, 10 guy in the sport and the number 2 contender in the WBC. So I don't think that, you know, if Wilder is not going to fight Povetkin, he's not going to fight Anthony Joshua. He won't do that. I don't think. It's either going to be Povetkin next year or somebody that's another, easy fight, basically, for Deontay Wilder. And right now, people do not want to see Deontay Wilder in an easy type of matchup.
Well, kind of what we talked about from the beginning with Tarver Cunningham. I admire Tarver. From his past work. Obviously, that was a long time ago. And actually, I know Tarver personally, living here in Tampa and everything. Cunningham, I admire him because he's always been plugging along, trying to think of a heavyweight fight. Didn't Cunningham fight Chisora? No, not Chisora, but Fury about 2-3 years ago, right? Tyson Fury?
I think. Oh, I don't know that one.
He fought Fury. The guy that Fury fought Klitschko, Cunningham fought him on NBC, and to me got robbed. I think he got knocked down a couple times, but he got robbed in that fight. But so all I'm saying right now with Cunningham and Tarver,
both these guys are fighting for different motivations. And a lot of people know, but Tarver has a lot of child support issues. And on top of that, a lot of gambling debt. So
yeah,
that's one of his big motivations for to continue on fighting, try and get that big title shot, try and get that big payday by fighting Klitschko and so on. Cunningham, we already know he has his family, personally with his daughter, with the heart disease or whatever she has, stuff like that. But he's still a game fighter. So both of these guys are fighting for their own different reasons. In addition to that, Povetkin, I think it was last year, fought a guy named Mike Perez. Perez is from Cuba, but lives in Ireland, I believe. And Mike Perez is the same guy that fought, I believe, a Polish guy named Abdulmosa. I can't say the guy's name, but basically gave the guy brain bleed, put him in hospital, and stuff like that. Well, once again, Povetkin beat Mike Perez, knocked him out in the first round. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know who Mike Perez is, but I don't believe that he's not – that was a real fight. Because Mike Perez, what, 6'4", 230, comes to fight, heavy hands. And Povetkin is solid, but I don't see him knocking out no Mike Perez in the first round. And keep in mind, that fight was in Russia. So I think the fixing was in on that one.
Yeah, Perez was like 6'1", 240 in that fight. And I'm like, yeah. And a guy like 6'1", 240, I don't think that, you know, somebody like him would go down to Povetkin that, you know, that fast unless, you know, he really got caught with a good shot. And I don't think he really got caught with a good shot. You know, so I'll see if I'll be able to catch that fight that happened in May 22nd and, you know, see what happened in that first round. But that's almost like one fight that I ran into recently where somebody got caught, like, over the top, you know, on the top of their head. And they were, like, knocked down. I was like, that's kind of questionable right there, you know what I mean? So.
But leading back up to Deontay Wilder, like I said, Povetkin is the mandatory. There's no reason why these guys should not be fighting this year. No reason. And we already, like you guys already said, Wilder will fight another year's opponent. He may be like a Chris Ariola who does have a bit of a name. I could actually tolerate that fight if you fought Ariola. I wouldn't mind because I know. Let me take a step back for that because Ariola could be a great fighter, but once again, how many years has Ariola been saying, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to come in lighter? Man, his body still shows you he's out of shape. And so, there's not seriousness about that, but nevertheless, if Wilder fought Ariola, I wouldn't so much mind that as far as some other no-name opponent that we ain't never heard of. But it's almost
right.
Strange that Wilder's fighting for Beckham, though. They should be fighting this year with that belt. It's mandatory.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like with like the case when Danny Garcia had, you know, his championship with the WBC and WBA, and he was supposed to fight Victor Postol, actually. And first thing was he ended up fighting Lamont Peterson. And then after that, he still had that Lumen fight there against Victor Postol. And instead of doing that, he just basically vacated the belts. Instead of, you know, either trying to go at him at 140 or paying off Victor Postol again to fight another fight at 140. So here, this is almost the same case in reference to Deontay Wilder. Is that, I mean, he's fighting, you know, two fights that have nothing to do with fighting the number one contender in the WBC. So now we have something else here coming up, September 26th, Premier Boxing Champions. And who knows who we'll be against. It might be against Chris Ariola. We're probably going to find out, you know, in the next couple of weeks or so. And it's going to be another one of those fights where he's just going to fight somebody that shouldn't really be in the ring with him for a heavyweight championship. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, So we're probably going to get into a little bit more on that, but I'm going to go into a quick break, run a couple of commercials, and then we'll be right back with the show. This is the Boxing Source Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio, powered by MRN Broadcasting Channel. Live number to call is 347-237-5539. So we're going to run some commercials and be right back.
Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch other callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
What is it? Up. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up. You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcasting Network. Better than diamond rings. That's why
we're here to sing. Football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
The Cohort Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cold Hard Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're back live here on the Boxing Source Radio Show. The number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. We'll be here taking live calls up until 8:30 p.m., and then we're going to go into overtime for a little bit to talk about other boxing news that's coming up. We're back here, and one thing that I wanted to go back on as far as touch on is the thing with Keith Thurman. One of the things that he was mentioning, a reference to him and his status as a WBA regular welterweight champion, is that they said that, they immediately made Floyd WBA super champion, and that, he should be first in line as far as fighting Floyd Mayweather, since Mayweather is a super champion and Thurman is regular champion. The point that I wanted to make or bring up is that, Floyd Mayweather is not the only WBA super champion out there in the sport of boxing. There's Kovalev is a super champion. Andre Ward is a super champion. Triple G is a super champion. Klitschko is a super champion. Rigo is a super champion. And there's a couple other super champions. So, you don't necessarily hear anybody talking about those guys facing a regular champions in that particular weight class. What do you, either of you, think about that point?
So what?
Reference Keith Thurman's point about being the WBA regular champion and that he should be first in line to fight Floyd. That he should have been first in line to fight Floyd Mayweather since he was the regular champ, and Floyd is a super champ, but there are like multiple guys that are super champions in the WBA, and you don't hear anything about those guys fighting each other or those super champions fighting the regular champions.
Right, you don't. I mean, but I don't know why. Okay. All right. Thurman hollers Mayweather, okay. Every time he comes around, he's hollering Mayweather, 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 Mayweather. I mean, is he saying Mayweather because he knows that he's not going to get the opportunity to fight him? Because then when I see that, okay, he could have got the Kell Brook fight. He didn't want to pause the Kell. It's like, okay, other fights that could help him, you know, okay, and like I say, Sean Porter. You know, Sean and Kenny Porter, yeah. They were advertising big to fight him, okay? Why
right.
not state your claim to where they have no choice but to fight you? Now, if he would get in line and start, okay, and say, all right, he started out good with the Ghost. He beat the Ghost. I said, okay, well, damn. Okay, that was a pretty good fight. And then you go from the Ghost to damn near nobody. If he would have kept the momentum going, they would demand the fight, and it would happen. But you
right.
go from a tough opposition to then you go to the back seat, and then you go to the back seat again. I mean, nobody's going to demand you to fight Floyd except for yourself, you know, because, I mean, nobody really think that you got a legitimate chance of beating them. Now,
mm-hmm.
like I say, Sean Porter, fight Sean. I'd say, okay, you want me to fight Earl for the title? You going to vacate the title for me to fight Earl? Bring him on. Bring him on. Why wouldn't
mm-hmm.
you do that? And then after that,
yeah.
then you can say, okay, well, I want to demand a fight with Mayweather. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do it then, and then the public will be behind you. But, man, you fight Collazo. Come on, man. Is that worthy of you fighting Mayweather?
Nah, it's not. Not at all.
What was?
Oh, you was back on?
Yeah, I'm still
here. Yeah, we're seeing, yeah, Terrell. Yeah, go ahead, Terrell.
Yeah, what was that?
Now, we're talking about a reference to, you know, Keith Thurman talking about he needs to, like, he wanted to fight Floyd Mayweather, but you don't see him, like, demanding really or going forward with other fights, like, for example, fighting Sean Porter or Kell Brook.
Yeah, I mean, that underscores a point that we've already made. You got a bunch of guys here at 147. To me, logically, they're all in the same group together for me. These are all B-plus level fighters. Porter, Thurman, Khan, because his chin, even though he's been in the game for a while, and Bradley, because a bit of a lack of power at 147. Plus, fighter right now, because a lack of a big fight. I mean, we see that coming on the horizon for him. But right now, that's all these guys are B-plus level fighters. And even I know that some people don't care for Swift, except I respect the man. He's undefeated. And, yeah, we know a bunch of fighters that got good fights. You know, even Mayweather on the first Casillo fight, a lot of people said that he lost that fight. But, like I said, all these guys are lumped right together for me. I mean, at this point, it's time for these guys to fight each other. I don't care who it is. Like I said, we can have a great welterweight tournament, you know, because somebody needs to be able to separate themselves, and they can only do that by fighting each other, not like the Colossus of the world and so on. It's you know, like I said, if Mayweather fouls out, what are these guys going to do? Who are they going to be crying for then? They won't have no choice but to fight each other. You know, it's rise to the top.
Right.
And it's a shame that Spence is like the only one that wants to fight the other people. He's like the only one calling out. I mean, Bradley would fight anybody, we know that. But he's with Top Rank, and there's promotion issues with there. But Bradley would definitely fight anybody. I know that for a fact. But like I said, Khan wants Mayweather. That's not going to happen. So, you know, he's heard about that. You know he is, privately. Brook, B-plus level fighter. But once again, I need for him to also to step out and call somebody out and get a fight made. I mean, like,
yeah.
What's Brooklyn?
Yeah.
So that's my viewpoint on that, on Thurman. I love Thurman. B-plus double fighter, though, until you step out of that circle and get some ass in the ring, that's next to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of these guys at 147 are just, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, to me, it's, you have Spence's calling these folks out, and you have, you know, Sean Porter that's actually fighting these guys. I mean, if you look at Sean Porter, with the exception of that fight against Eric Bone that he had, he fought Paulie Malignaggi, he fought Adrian Broner, he fought Kell Brook. I mean, those three fights right there, you know, pretty much have more notoriety in that division than any of those guys that are amongst the top, you know, five to ten people in that division within that side of the, you know, promotional divide. Because, I mean, you do have, you know, Timothy Bradley on the opposite side. You do have Brandon Rios on the opposite side. And so Tim Bradley can't necessarily fight those guys. But, I mean, Tim Bradley has basically fought everybody he needs to fight too. So there really isn't that much left or that many people left for Timothy Bradley to fight. So I don't know what his contract situation is, but he's going to have to see if he could, you know, ease on over to, I don't know, somebody else in order to get the big fights made with the other guys at welterweight, you know? So, looks like we got about 3 minutes left here before we go into overtime. Or once again, the number is 347-237-5539 to get on live. 347-237-5539. We'll be going to overtime at 8:30 p.m. After that, you could catch the stream here on Blog Talk Radio or also at xtrax.fm. That's xtrax.fm. So you'll be able to listen to the show there. Next thing I wanted to go into was, you know, it seems like Cotto Canelo is, they're still talking about Cotto Canelo, but nothing's necessarily signed yet. Nothing is looking like it's official or anything like that, but looks like it's going to be closer to a reality. Like I said initially, I mean, favor Alvarez in that fight has the height and the reach, and we'll be able to stand and trade with Cotto. So I think he'll be able to, you know, win that fight if that fight happens. And if it's going to be for the middleweight championship, then I'd say that Canelo should be able to move up to middleweight. Because his last few fights have been over the 154-pound limit. So I don't know what he's really waiting on, because he can't necessarily do 154 anymore.
Well, question for you. What's the proposed date for the Cotto Canelo fight? We already know that's going to be a Puerto Rican matchup. And also, what's the proposed date for Triple G and Lemieux? And is that supposed to be on pay-per-view as well? So talk about the landscape of pay-per-views in the immediate future for the middleweight in that division. What's going on with that? Who's going to be the flag carry, if you will, for pay-per-views? Be more made when it leaves. Talk about that.
Well, in reference to Golovkin Lemieux, what were you saying about that one specifically?
Yeah, what's the date for that fight, for Triple G's fight, and the date for Cotto Canelo? Because I think both are going to be on pay-per-view, right?
Well, Cotto Canelo is supposed to be November 21st, and Golovkin Lemieux was October 18th?
Is that pay-per-view? Yes. And where's that fight at?
Golovkin Lemieux is October 17th. It's going to be at Madison Square Garden, and it's HBO pay-per-view. Cotto Canelo is supposed to be also another HBO pay-per-view event that's supposed to be November 21st. That would have been at the, Mandalay Bay? I think it was going to be at Mandalay Bay because they can't have it at MGM Grand. So that was what the original plan was supposed to be in reference to that, because they couldn't put that fight in MGM Grand because of, you know, Floyd Mayweather having that contract with him. So they were just basically saying to have it, you know, over there by Mandalay Bay.
And that fight, well, these two fights, that's a virtual middleweight tournament in a sense. Although the fact that Cole Vanilla, they're coming in at, what, 153 or what is it they're coming in at? But it's almost a virtual tournament for these four fighters, you know. But
right.
even if that is the case, what is the possibility that the winner of these fights won't face each other?
Well, I mean, my thing is that I don't see Cotto facing Golovkin. If Golovkin wins this fight against Lemieux and Cotto somehow, like, defeats Canelo, he will not face Gennady Golovkin next year. That's not going to happen. You'd rather just drop that WBC, you know, middleweight championship. He'll just move on to different things there. You know what I mean? This thing here with Lemieux and Golovkin, I mean, they have the IBF, the IBO, and the WBA middleweight championships on the line for it, and the interim WBC middleweight championship. So the mandatory for the WBC belt will be on the line on October 17th. So whoever wins that is going to be the next in line for the Cotto Canelo winner if they even ever sign it.
Well, it's a shame. Like I said, if Cotto somehow sweeps past Canelo, it's possible. It's possible. If that's the case, that's going to be a war. If Cotto does win that, it would be a war. And as far as Triple G and Lemieux, if Triple G comes out the winner, which I fear he may because he's a bigger guy, and that I know Lemieux's a fierce puncher, but let's say Triple G wins that fight and Cotto wins. Like you said, Cotto, first you said, he's not going to fight Triple G. And to me, as much as I've loved Cotto over his career, I'm kind of losing respect for him if he doesn't fight Triple G, if he beats Canelo. I would really lose respect. And in addition, like I said, Cotto-Canelo, that's going to be a war. If Cotto does sneak past that, instead of him fighting Triple G, he probably would like to go for a rematch against Canelo if he did beat him. So, I mean,
yeah.
despite the antics and policies about boxing, it's very, very interesting for the end of the year. Very interesting.
Okay, but this is my only thing with that, right? You said that you would be, you know, disrespected if Cotto doesn't fight Triple G. Okay, I see you saying that, but you got to look at the Cotto, he's not a 160. I mean, you know, Cotto, in my opinion, I think the younger line will beat him with Canelo. I mean, I'm pulling for Cotto, but I just don't see him beating Canelo. But either way, I don't see neither guy facing Triple G right away. I just think Triple G is too big for Cotto. I mean, Cotto's not a 160, you know. Now, Canelo would be a better suit to fight Triple G before Cotto. Canelo can't make 54 anymore. Okay, why he doesn't move up, I mean, everybody wants to know. I mean, everybody has their opinion of why, but I don't really want to see Cotto fight a guy where he's going to get battered and bruised. I don't see him having a chance of beating Triple G. He's bigger. You know, Cotto ain't the type of fighter where he's elusive and use his legs. He's a mm-hmm. warrior. He's coming forward to fight. So why put him against a Mack truck? You know, I mean, it's better matchups for him where he just don't get abused. You know what I'm saying? Now, my
right.
thing with Triple G, I mean, come on. Man, he need to grow some balls. And, yeah, everybody want Mayweather, and we all know why. But, damn, why you so damn big on coming down to fight the little guys instead of clean out your own division first? Beat Kid Chocolate. Beat those guys, Andy Lee, and then
yeah.
make some noise. you know, I mean, I have no respect for him. Not to say that you know, he's, you know, I watch him, but I have no respect for him because you can't even clean out your own division before you worried about trying to come down here and fight guys.
Getting big fights.
The little guys. I mean, where you know, and neither of the guys that he's talking about facing, right, why he don't say Laura? Laura said he'll fight him. Laura's been begging to fight Triple G, right? But Laura's the type of fighter will make him look bad. Okay, he wants to fight Canelo. He wants to fight Cotto. Those are the types of guys that stay right in front of you in trade. They're going to stay right in front of you in trade. So, of course, the bigger guy, his impact is going to have more effect than the smaller guy.
Yep. Exactly, and that's the thing, and that's the thing about like what you said with Cotto. I mean, Cotto is, you know, still around that 153-154 pound range. So, and you know, basically holds the middleweight championship. And if there was like anything where any type of inkling that he would face Gennady Golovkin, the first thing that they would tell Golovkin is, we'll fight you if you were able to make 157 or 156 pounds. And bear in mind that Golovkin has never been under 158 pounds his whole career at middleweight. So Cotto will probably put something in front of him to where it's going to be very hard for Golovkin to try to make, you know, make that certain weight that Cotto would probably put in front of him. And that's a major problem with something like that.
So what about the process of a Triple G Canelo fight? How would that fight go as far as weight? Where would they meet at? Would it be a true middleweight? And do you think Canelo's scared? But just aside from that, put those two in the ring, how would that fight go March, April next year? How would that fight proceed?
Here's my thing with that one. I think Canelo would want to fight Golovkin, but Oscar wouldn't want Canelo to fight Golovkin. I think that would be the major, I think that would be the roadblock right there for Canelo Triple G, is that Oscar wouldn't want Canelo to fight Triple G at least so soon. Like for example, if Canelo won, beat Cotto in November, and then you had the fight put up with Canelo against Triple G in May for the middleweight championships. Canelo would probably be all for it, but Oscar would be, you know, like have second thoughts about making that fight possible.
And why is that? Because he's a fear of Canelo getting embarrassed, becoming a damaged product at this point. I'm trying to think of Canelo's last five fights. Or not just that, but who's truly hurt Canelo? I'm trying to think. I mean, I think Angulo may have buzzed him a couple of times, but I've never seen Canelo hurt. But coming to a prospect with a fight with Triple G, we all know that's going to happen. It's just a matter of if and when, or when, really, what round.
Right.
But
yeah.
But this is the stuff that great fighters are made of, you know what I'm saying? Being resilient, take a solid punch from a puncher. Canelo's a decent boxer, and you would imagine him come up to 160, he's going to be a bit stronger. So as far as any fear, to me, there shouldn't be any fear because he's going to be stronger at 160. And like you guys are saying, you can't make 154 anymore. So at being at 160, that's going to be his natural weight right now at this point. So how would that fight go?
Yeah, really?
He will be stronger at 160. Right, and I think that's better suit for him. But, right, I still don't think he will have the power to contend with the Triple G. Oscar already said he don't see Canelo fighting Triple G until 2 years down the road. Oscar's trying to wait on Triple G to have a few more birthdays. You got to look at his age. Oscar's no fool. This is his cash cow. He's not going to put Canelo in a position to where it's gonna hurt him. You got to realize Canelo has never took off in the States. He still have his Mexican back, and but he's not really went crazy here. That's why his pay-per-views doesn't do any better than what they are. Okay, so Oscar, he's not going to risk that right now. I mean, even if Canelo beats Cotto, you don't have to worry about seeing him fight Triple G next. I mean, Oscar said it already 2 years down the road, because he wants somebody else to damage Triple G up a little bit. He wants him to slow down a little bit, because if you look at everything that he's got, and then that's still depending on Canelo's contract is getting ready to come up. So, you know, Heyman and Roc Nation, they're going to try to up the ante. Now, will he stick with his Mexican brother or not? Or is he going to try to go where it's more opportunities for him? That's yet to be determined.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, after this potential fight here against Miguel Cotto, if Canelo gets past that, then he'll be able to look at as far as his options in the middleweight division. And, you know, while he might be able to fight Triple G or he might not, but even if he doesn't, there's still, you know, guys like Andy Lee that he could fight. He could still do something against somebody of the likes of Peter Quillen or Daniel Jacobs there in the middleweight division and get about, you know, 2, 3, 4 fights in them, be able to make some money that way before even fighting Triple G, if he doesn't necessarily want to fight Triple G right away. But he would have to, you know, he would have to sign off with Heyman in order to get those type of fights first before he could go talk with Tom Lawler and K2 Promotions about fighting Triple G.
And actually, one guy you just mentioned, Quillen. Quillen's right there. He's probably still a B plus, a high B plus fighter. And you mentioned he has a fight coming up. I forgot against who, but Quillen's right there too. He definitely has the natural size in there right now with Triple G. He don't need no more seasoning. He don't need no more work. He's ready right now to me. And he got that meanness, that viciousness. He's right there. So my question for him, I mean, we always talk about Cotto, Canelo, Triple G, and whoever else, but Quillen is off the map to me. I know that he signed with Heyman, dropped his belt for personal reasons per se. But, well, your personal reasons are resolved right now, so let's get you back into the mix. So, to me, for his next fight, I want to see a knockout. I want to see something impressive. I want him to re-announce himself back on the scene on his next fight, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because Quillen is, you know, going to have that fight there in the Foxwoods on September 12th against, you know, unknown Michael Zarafa. And, you know, after that, you're going to have to see what his next fight's going to be. I mean, he did have that draw against Andy Lee there, and Andy Lee still has that belt. We're going to see on September 19th with Andy Lee's defense against Billy Joe Saunders, if he's going to be able to win that fight, what's next for Andy Lee? Because he has the only other major belt that's left in the middleweight division. So if Quillen can't get, you know, anything like that, then he needs to try to see if he's, you know, willing and able to step up and fight Gennady Golovkin after the fight that Golovkin has against David Lemieux. You
know, How old is Triple G?
What is he, about 33?
Wow, and Lemieux's like, I think, late 22?
Lemieux is 26.
Wow. And I don't care about Triple G's age. I don't see no signs of him slowing down. Who's going to slow him down?
Yeah, I don't know who will, but I mean,
the thing with
Lemieux is Lemieux's 26,
JD?
But he did get KO'd.
Did he say who was going to slow Triple G down?
Yeah.
Listen, brother, let me tell you something. It ain't about slowing him down. It's just who can make him miss or who can not give him the looks. I mean, the guy with the most power doesn't always win. I mean, look at Mayweather. I mean, it's just the guy who can be the most skillful. I mean, when I look at Triple G, I say the same thing about Triple G and Keith Thurman. And, Jay, you know I say this all the time. Until Triple G showed me that he can fight an elusive guy, somebody that's not going to be in front of him, that's there to be hit and just there to be stalked, I don't give him no credit. I mean, because you know why? One guy can expose him and make everybody else be like, oh, man, he's one-dimensional. Because that's my opinion of Keith, and that's my opinion of him, because I go by who the matchmaker put him in there with. Like I say, man, show me you can beat Laura. Laura is a little guy. He's willing to come up and face you at 160. But you know what? You ain't calling his name out. Because you know why? He's not the type of guy that you're going to look good against. He's going to box you. He's going to make you cut the ring off. Do we even know if he can even cut the ring off? You know what I'm saying? Or is he just going to follow him around? I mean, if you look at his last fight, when he was getting hit, he was just stalking the dude. No, was that the last fight or the fight before? He was just stalking the dude to get punched. Never cut the ring off because he depends on one thing and one thing only, landing that big shot. So what's going to happen when the shot's not there for him to land?
Right.
That's the question.
What happens when he gets caught with a good counter shot?
Right. Exactly. See, that's my thing. You know, that's why I say, until then, I don't give him, but you know how I am, Jay. Look, until then, I don't give him so much credit. Before I deem you this and that, you got to show me you can beat all types of styles. Not just a guy that stands in front of you. Your matchmaker is always going to put you against who he know you're going to do well against because he's trying to build your base. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so if you look at him, everybody he's faced, just like Keith Thurman fought one guy that showed the little Italian brother, and he wasn't the most elusive, and he didn't lose his legs the best, but he didn't look good against him. He didn't look good against him, so that's why you haven't seen him face anybody else that fights like that. Okay, now, of course, you'll fight Mayweather for all the tips, but you're not trying to fight anybody else of that caliber fighter. So I feel the same way about Triple G. Show me you can fight a boxer, puncher, that can use their legs, and they're not going to be there. They're going to get the angles. They're not going to be right in front of you so you can land your sledgehammers again. Show me you can beat that type of fighter, and I'll give you a little bit more credit.
Yeah, that's the thing with Golovkin. I mean, if he's not able to fight, you know, somebody that likes Veresland de Lara or those type of boxers, then you can't necessarily give him, you know, the full credit that he wants. And the other thing is like, well, is he going to unify all the middleweight belts or want to make that effort? You know?
And here goes the glove right here. That's
all right, hold on. And, that's the thing about it is he going to be able to unify the middleweight championship belts? Is that what his aim is? Or is he going to try to still look for those big money type of fights, you know? Next thing here on the overtime session, I was going to go and touch into a little bit with the light heavyweight scene. We have, like, that young prospect, Artur Beterbiev. He was ordered by the IBF to go into an eliminator between him and Bernard Hopkins, as they were the top guys in the IBF. And it looked like both of them basically turned down that purse bid that was going to be put up for them. The next guys up are Eric Skoglund and Isaac Salemba. So, you know, if Beterbiev is able to go against one of those two guys and wins, then he'll become the number one contender for the IBF light heavyweight championship that Kovalev has. Some people thought that Beterbiev would be able to face Kovalev in November 28th, as Kovalev had an open date November 28th in Russia to fight somebody. And Kathy Duva offered a contract to Von Michelle, who was managing Beterbiev, and they just basically turned it down, saying that, well, we'll just wait until later, have this one fight, and then wait until after that to basically have a mandatory fight against Kovalev for the titles that he has. Basically what they wanted to do was they wanted to wait, have him be the number one contender, and make that potential matchup have a purse bid. And if it's at a purse bid, then it might not be on HBO. It might be on Premier Boxing Champions or Showtime for more money. So what do you think about the moves of Beterbiev and Von Michelle as far as, like, not, you know, not necessarily taking that Kovalev fight November 28th?
Actually, one thing I'll say about that is I was actually looking forward to a Kovalev Beterbiev fight, and I'm ready to present that because both are of Russian descent. I think Kovalev's from Moscow, around that region, and what's funny about it, I have a coworker at my job who's actually from Russia, and he told me that the part of Russia that Beterbiev is from is kind of like a rough and rugged region, and they're known for producing fighters. And while Beterbiev has a relatively light record, I was looking forward to that Russian rivalry. And like I said, even though both are Russian, Beterbiev is looked at as kind of like it's coming from a different region, you know. So, and there's a bit of a Russian rivalry with that. So I was actually disappointed to see that fight not come together, you know. Once again, politics of boxing keeping us from some potentially good fights. So, but I mean, still a fan, still my number one sport, but if anything else, you know, live and die with it, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, great. What did you think about the moves there for that one?
I mean, my thing is, was it the promoters or was it the fighters? I mean, to me, I think, just like the brother said, you know, you got two guys from the same place. You know, of course they want to fight each other, but it's probably one promoter trying to protect his fighter, because ain't nobody trying to go against Sergey right now. He's crushing everything in front of him. The only person that I give a chance to beat Sergey, and Jay, you know I said this a long time ago, I just think Adonis' athletic ability will beat him. I just don't know why he don't have the kahunas to fight him. I really think Adonis, and he got the power to hurt him, and I think his speed and athleticism will get the job done. But, I mean, his fear factor, I don't see it happening. But everybody else, I mean, they don't have what it takes. They're going to play right into his hand, because they're more so to stay in front of you to get hit, trying to trade a shot. Now, do they have the power to hurt Sergey? I mean, he got a pretty good chin. You know what I'm saying? We've seen him take shots. I mean, so then again, I would give him the edge. But I still think Adonis, if he would ever get the balls to face him, I think that little bit of fear will make him that much more sharper, because he don't worry about getting hit by the power. And I still think that he can beat him with his athleticism.
Well, I mean, the thing with Adonis Stevenson is he does have the athleticism to, you know, move around against somebody like Kovalev. But thing is, like, what was it, that fight that he had? Was it against Fonfari that he got knocked down in that fight?
Yeah.
And
that fight right there, I mean, I don't – was he looking through him? I mean, did he not take him seriously? You know what I'm saying? That's one of those fights that's easy for him to overlook, because if you look, he's basically been, his last three fights before that has been basically he walked through the people. So I don't know if he looked past him, but against Sergey, you know he'll bring his A game, because one thing that's playing over in the back of his head, he knows Sergey can crack, you know, so I don't know. I just think that he'll use his speed, and he can punch. He can punch. I think a lot of people don't give him credit. He got pretty good power.
True. True. I mean, it's, yeah, something there in reference to Adonis Stevenson, because I really don't know what they're necessarily waiting for with Adonis, because there's nobody really out there for him to fight but, you know, Kovalev. They're not putting him up, you know, they're not putting him up against, you know, the likes of Pascal or even Chalemba, who's the number one contender. They're getting somebody that's, you know, number nine in the rankings. So it's almost like they're trying to protect Stevenson here at this point.
Right.
So I don't know what's next for him.
And to me, after, you know, he basically pitched out, and then you see the old man fight Sergey after he went to a whole nother network, like he's trying to avoid him. I mean, and then after you see Bernard go the distance with him, then you talk about you want to fight him. Okay, but you haven't done anything to get the fight. Now, I don't think Al Haymon is concerned one way or the other. If he tell Al that he wants the fight to happen, I'm sure the fight will happen. I think it's him. I think he, you know, he's, or maybe it's his trainer. You know, somebody is not comfortable facing him right now. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what the whole hang up is in reference to that one. So that's something that, you know, we'll be able to see if we can find out sooner or later. In that case, and I hope that's like one of those fights that I really hope that we see, you know, much sooner rather than later.
Right.
Want to see that, you know, by June 2016, I want to see Stevenson versus Kovalev. You know, if not that, then, you know, better be a versus Kovalev. One of those two has to happen by June of 2016. You know, so that's going to be something that we may be able to look forward to come next year. But in reference to this year, I mean, we have a few, you know, a few fights that are lined up, a few big fights. So we'll be looking towards that. On that note, I'm pretty much going to be closing out the show tonight here. So is there anything else that y'all wanted to close out with?
No, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, bro.
No, I just want to say I enjoy it. Boxing my favorite sports since I've been little. My father didn't let me box. He didn't want me to get knocked in the head like Muhammad Ali. But nevertheless, still my favorite sport. Enjoy the talk. Enjoy the post. Enjoy everything. Enjoy you guys.
All right, bro.
Thanks for contributing, man.
Yeah, until next Sunday, hey, you know, keep looking out for any type of news, so we'll have more next week.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, so, yeah, I'll be doing that there, and, you know, just make sure that y'all, like, follow The Boxing Source on Twitter and on Facebook, The Boxing Source, and I also have an Instagram page there where, you know, I post little things here and there on that note. And like I said, I'll be back on same time next week, 7:30 Sunday. You catch our sister shows here Tuesdays at 8:30 and Wednesdays at 8:30. And like I always say in boxing, the point is to hit and not get hit, not to spin and trade. And on that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good one.